The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Can a believer have their name blotted out of the Book of Life? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Really glad that you're with us because we are taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. Maybe you've got one of those burning questions, one of those questions that keeps you up at night. I hope you'll send it to us. You can reach us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar, and I'm here with my intelligent, fearless co-host and leader, Bob.
Thank you, Sean.
We're so glad to be able to do this. What a privilege it is to discuss the Bible and theology and to have you guys listen in and contribute with your questions, which you can send to radio@faithalone.org.
Can you tell that Sean's from Canada?
Did I say contribute?
Contribute.
Instead of what?
Contribute.
Contribute. Contribute.
That's
what's
all right.
The other one that you guys always, expiry date?
Yeah.
And I don't even know what's the right way
actually,
to do it.
Actually, some people do say that, but it's expiration date.
Expiration date, but I say expiry.
That's okay. It's cute.
People always, it's cute. People, oh, there's cute little Canadians with this. We just did an interview on Standing for Truth.
With Donnie. And I could tell by certain things he said that he was Canadian.
I was listening to the accent and I was like, I didn't know, is it Canadian or is it just kind of northern U.S.? But you picked up on
well,
the Canadian.
Well, so I asked him afterwards and he said, yeah, I'm in Windsor, Ontario, across from Detroit.
Ontario.
Eh?
I think I mask most of my pronunciations.
Yes.
I don't know, but maybe not. Here's a question from Connor. I've been having trouble understanding verses like Revelation 3:5 and Revelation 22:18-19, which both mention the Book of Life, and advocates of the loss of salvation will use these verses to prove that a believer's name can be blot out of the Book of Life. If possible, could you please help me understand these passages? And that's Connor.
Okay, yeah, these are tough ones. We have articles on both of these at our website, faithalone.org, I think by a number of different authors. Let me, Sean, if it's okay, give an overarching explanation of why we know neither of these verses can be saying that a believer can be blotted out of the Book of Life. His everlasting life can be taken away. We know from many, many, many passages in Scripture that the one who believes in Jesus has everlasting life, will never hunger, will never thirst, will never perish, will never die, will never come into judgment concerning his eternal destiny. I'm thinking of, 20, 30, 40 verses in John's Gospel, and I'm thinking of verses all through the Scriptures. In fact, I recently came out with a book called 100 Faith Alone Verses, and I go through 100 different verses, and that's not all that there are, but I go through those. So the first point is, we know from John 3:16, or John 5:24, or John 11:25-27, a host of passages, that everlasting life can't be lost. And we know that the moment a person believes in Jesus, they're secure forever. So whatever Revelation 3:5 means, it can't mean that a person can lose everlasting life.
So that's an important thing to point out, because what often happens is people will take the 100 verses that say, it's by faith alone and salvation is eternal.
Right.
And then they'll have the one problem passage and they'll throw out the 100 verses.
Does that make sense to you?
And the problem passage becomes the primary evidence.
Right. So the way we understand John 3:16, John 5:24, John 11:25-27 is James 2:14-26.
Exactly.
Right?
That, I was just thinking of that.
So we misinterpret James 2:14-26 and then impose upon a clear text.
Right. So, faith that works is dead, or he was not justified by faith alone, was he?
Right.
And they take that one verse and then Paul gets thrown into the garbage.
Right.
And people don't stop to think, wait a second.
And Jesus does too, because the Gospel of John is where Paul got his message.
Right. So basically what you're saying is we should start off from a place of what we know. And what we know is from these 100 verses, salvation is by faith apart from works, and eternal life is secure. Eternal life is eternal and will never thirst, never hunger. That's our position of certainty.
Right.
And now let's look at this problem passage.
Okay. And let me say that Revelation 3:5 does deal with the Book of Life. Revelation 22:18-19 does not.
It doesn't.
Revelation 22, 18 and 19, in the majority of manuscripts and in the critical text, reads Tree of Life, not Book of Life.
Interesting.
The TR had a few manuscripts that read Book of Life, and so unfortunately the King James and the New King James translates that Book of Life, but if you look in the footnote in your New King James,
yes,
it says specifically this reads Tree of Life.
Tree of Life.
And okay. Tree of Life is a reward.
So, and that's one of those rare circumstances where the critical text and the majority text
agree against the TR.
And the TR, for people who don't know, that's the Textus Receptus. And that was basically the amalgamated Greek text that Erasmus of Rotterdam put together, because he was putting together a Greek New Testament for the first time, and I think he had about 15 manuscripts to work from.
I'm not sure
that's how it started.
But it was a very small number of manuscripts. Now, they happened to be from the Byzantine region, so they were, for the most part, majority text readings.
Right.
However, if you have a New King James Version, many of them will show you variants where the Textus Receptus varies from the majority text. And in most books, you'll have three or four per page of the New Testament. But when you get to the Book of Revelation, it's more like 10 or 20
wow.
per page.
So there's a lot. In fact, I just came across this the other day where I guess King James, where it says Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. That's actually a TR reading, and it's not in the critical text or the majority text. That's a pretty significant passage.
You should look at your footnotes
yeah.
because those are helpful. So, and, of course, if you can use Greek, look at your Greek New Testament, and it'll give you the textual problem.
All right, so to answer Connor's question about Revelation 22, 18 to 19.
All right, let's do that one first.
Well, the best manuscripts, you say, don't even mention the Book of Life. They actually mention the Tree of Life. And so then that
right.
becomes like a rewards concept.
Why don't you read that, 22, 18, and 19?
So I'm reading from the New King James. I guess I'll have to substitute as I read it. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the Book of Life. But the footnote says, will take away his part from the Tree of Life, from the Holy City, and from the things which are written in this book.
And when you read earlier in Revelation 22, the Tree of Life is a reward for the overcomer. And that's also found in chapter 2. So the fruit of the Tree of Life is a reward for those who are victorious Christians. And the point here is, if someone is adding to or taking away from this message, then their right to the Tree of Life can be taken away. So it's very important that we accept what the Book of Revelation says. But now Revelation 3:5 is a different animal. So let's go there. Maybe read 4 and 5.
So 22 is a textual issue. But now 3:5 is more of a theological issue. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
Okay, now notice what's repeated in verse 5. The repeated part is his name. I will not blot out his name, but I will confess his name. And he's doing this before my Father and before his angels. Well, first of all, we ought to ask, where is this confession taking place? This is clearly the judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus will confess the name of the one who overcomes. And that person will be clothed in white garments. And so he's not going to blot out his name from the book of life, but he's right. going to confess his name. Basically, this is the acknowledgement that this has been a faithful believer. Jesus says, he who confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven.
Yeah.
He who denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father in heaven. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And Paul interprets that in 2 Timothy 2:12 to say, if we endure, we shall reign with him.
Okay.
If we deny him, he will deny us, that is, the privilege of reigning.
Right.
So he's talking to believers here in Revelation 3:5. Now the question is, what does it mean, I will not blot out his name from the book of life? Well, notice he doesn't say, I will blot out the name of the person who denies me. I will blot out the name of the one who is not an overcomer.
And why is that significant?
Well, it's significant because this is something people read into the verse. Many people say that this is understatement. It's a figure of speech in Greek called litotes.
Right.
He's saying, look, I'm not going to blot out his name. Not only am I not going to blot it out, I'm going to shout it.
Okay.
So I'm going to acknowledge it.
Jesus, what you're saying is this is an expression. Jesus isn't saying that blotting out the name is a possibility. He's using understatement. Statement to say what he is going to do.
I think that's the most normal way of understanding this verse. Now, having said that, there was an article published, I think, in JETS, Journal of the Evangelical Theological Society. An author was arguing this, that the word name here, in Greek that's anama, refers to reputation. He took the view that Jesus will blot the reputation of the non-overcomer out of the book of life. In that view, the Book of Life not only contains the list of all the people who have everlasting life, but it's got some special designation to show who the overcomers
are. So it's like when a father or mother is concerned about the behavior of their child, and they're going to say, you're ruining our good name.
Right. So some people understand this to mean that, like in the Book of Life, remember, like in the white pages, you used to have people's names, and if the people gave extra money or something, their name would be in bold. Basically, what this author was arguing is your bold heading to show you're an overcomer could be taken away.
Okay, so there's two options here. One, this is an understatement.
Right.
That's not the possibility that you can be blotted out. It's emphasizing what Jesus will do, which is to confess your name before the
Father.
Which
I think is the correct understanding.
Yeah. And the other option is it does point to the possibility that the name can be blotted out, but the name is the reputation.
Right.
But either way, eternal life isn't at stake.
Right.
So those are two ways of reading the passage without reading into it a loss of salvation.
Exactly. And so principle I have, if you don't know what a passage means, stand on the clear teaching of John 3:16, John 5:24, etc., and then just say, I'm going to pray about this and I'll learn what this means later. That's what happened to me when I got to Dallas Seminary. That's how I learned what Revelation 3:5 means, or Revelation 22:18 and 19. So, really good questions from Connor.
Thanks for those thoughts, Bob, and that's good advice. If you have any questions for us, you know where to reach us, radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. Well, here we are at another Friday. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.